I don't know what it would have been like because it's so we're so far removed from it, but to come week after week, month after month, bringing the blood of bulls and goats and the offerings of the Old Testament that God ordained for that time, but they were all pointing to what we are able to enjoy today. We can come, and I hope we come often. Matter of fact, there's no other way to come before God but through the blood. Many days when I'm praying, I'll just say to the Father, Lord, I'm not coming through any merit of mine. I'm not coming because I've done good or we're anything, but I come through the blood of Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And what a blessed privilege that is that God gives us. I want to mention a couple of things before we look into God's word, which we'll be reading in Luke 7. Brother Ron made reference to potential camp meeting. I've been praying about that for a good while. It's been actually 3 years since we've had one, and I understand as much as anybody how much work and everything it takes, but I believe it's time. I believe that we need it, and others need it. I believe that those times of getting together with God's people, times of refreshing, are important and have been missed these past few years. So we've set the dates for March 30th, that's Thursday, through April 2nd, Sunday. I'll be getting flyers made out, and we will have a meeting later on because they don't just happen. You have to have a lot of work, a lot of input, some leading up to and then during the meeting. And but I know that many congregations smaller than ours have put on camp meetings for years, and God helps them, and he'll help us. Another, I mentioned Wednesday night. Of course, there were just a few here, but I want you to pray. I ask you to help pray about this. Most of you know, and Sister Margaret requested prayer for Brother Lester. He and his wife have felt for a number of years that God is going to bring them to the States. They feel drawn to this congregation. I won't go into all of that. We've had a lot of conversation about it. Things have changed recently where that door seems to be much more open than it had been before. But again, as I said Wednesday night, there is only one thing that concerns me in it all is what is God's will. That's all that matters. If God wants them here, then that's my desire. And if not, I know that God will do whatever is needed in his will. So please pray about that. And as they are, it's not something that's going on behind the scenes. He has talked about it with the leaders, and they're aware. So we just want God's will to be done, like in our lives each day. It would bring a lot of potential to, you know, the promotion of the mission work, having a Cuban brother on the ground here to be able to do what I'm not able to do on a consistent basis. And so you help us pray about that. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to read from Luke's Gospel chapter 7, a familiar account in the life of Jesus. We'll begin at verse 1, read through verse 10. Now when he, Jesus, had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion, remember a centurion is a Roman military commander of 100 men. They were appointed over certain areas to police the area, basically. A certain centurion's servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. When he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them. And when he was now not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that thou shouldest enter under my roof. Wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto thee, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. For I also am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard these things, think about these, he marveled. The Son of God marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returning to the house found the servant whole that had been sick. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the wonderful privilege we have to be accepted in the beloved, to be your children, to be able to lift our voice to heaven and say, Father, and to know that we can come before you through the blood of Jesus. We give you praise and glory because of this wonderful plan that you have provided for us. You have brought to fulfillment through your Son, Jesus. God, we pray that you would minister your word to each of our hearts. Speak through your Spirit. Lord, touch us in the way that we need today. We need your help because, Lord, none of us are able to do anything good without you. So speak through these lips of clay. Anoint for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to add just a couple familiar scriptures to that. Psalm 62:11. God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth to God. In Romans 13:1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. You'll see in a moment where these are connected. As we think together about this man that we know as the Roman centurion, a man who Jesus said had great faith, there are many admirable qualities we see in him. I'll touch on some. It's not my purpose to lift him up, but to express what God has put on our heart as the burden. In verse 8 are the words that I especially want to draw your attention to. Mallory, if you would, bring verse 8 back on the screen. Leading up to those words, the man had sent to Jesus and said, you don't even need to come. I know that you're able to just speak the word. He believed that Jesus had such power in his word, that if he would only speak the word, that he said, my servant will be healed. But he says these words to open verse 8 that I believe are overlooked, and yet I believe they are the key to understanding this tremendous faith this man had in Jesus Christ. And he said these words, I also, what's also mean? That I see that somewhere else. He was talking, sending word to Jesus. I also, like you, I am a man under authority. And he explained what that meant. Being under authority gave him authority. He said, I have soldiers, and whatever I say, they do. They don't do this because I have power or authority, but because I have submitted myself to authority. We want to consider from these words this morning the subject, power from submission. I think all of us would agree this morning with what we've read in those additional passages, that all power belongs to God. Amen? All power in this world, in this universe, the powers that be are ordained of God. We need to be reminded of the source of power. It's not in the White House. It's not in the United Nations. It's not in Shanghai or anywhere else. The source of all power is in God. Amen? He is the source. And when it comes to you and I, because we're not just here to talk about the centurion and you know, where power comes from, but you and I are people who need power. If we are able to, and we want to live a successful Christian life, a life that brings glory and honor to God, if we want to be overcomers in this spiritual battle that every Christian is involved in, if we want to be able to do those things, we need to realize that you and I do not possess the power in ourselves to accomplish those things. We do not have spiritual power. Jesus made it very clear in John chapter 15, when he said, without me, you can do nothing. I tell you that often because it is true and because I'm living in the reality of it. I preached to the Gideon brethren this morning early, and I told them, we as men of God and of people of God are not to be like the world. The older that we get, the more that we grow in grace and mature spiritually, we don't feel ourselves to be stronger and mightier and wiser. We feel ourselves to be weaker and weaker because we are coming to an awareness of who we are without God. And it causes us, it drives us to our Father, to our Lord and Savior, because we need that power that only He has. Amen? We don't have the power to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Do you know that today? I don't have the power in myself, no man does, to resist temptation and sin and to rise above the sin that so easily beset. We, as collectively, we don't have the power to touch lost and dying souls with the life-changing message of the gospel. And even though we desire, we don't have the power to affect change in our community, in our nation, and to turn this apostate religious world around and head it in the right direction. We don't possess the power to do those things. Amen? But the good news is, we know who does. And He is our Father. Amen? And there is no shortage to God's power. I know that there are many people that are dismayed today about the condition of the church, and in one sense, I am too, that which calls itself the church, what the world sees as the church, is much different than God's true church, the remnant. It's not a pleasant thing to even think about because it is such in a desperately apostate condition. But I'm not discouraged because I know that God's power has not changed. I know that His power has not diminished. I know that His willingness to endue His people with power has not changed at all. He still has all the power that we need, and He's trying to remind us and teach us how we can lay hold of that power. Amen? God wants His people to have His power operating in our hearts and lives. So we think about this Roman centurion for a moment. He was really a remarkable man, and I'm not here to glorify him, but what he was a miracle of God's grace, like you, like me, like every child of God. The world doesn't look at us that way. They think we're crazy and fanatics and this and that, but we're miracles of God's grace, amen. And this man was also, just a few things, think about him, and I say that to give glory to God. He was a Gentile. You know, at that time, Jesus had not yet went to the cross. The new covenant was not instituted. There was so much that was not known. He was a Gentile, but he was a believer in the God of Israel. He was a man of great faith. Jesus didn't throw that word phrase out very often. A man of great faith in God. He was a Roman commander. Do you know how the Jews looked at Roman commanders? They hated them. They despised them. They were tyrants over them. The Jews lived in subjection to the Romans. But listen to what the Jews said about this man. He's worthy. I mean, what did the Jews call the Gentiles? Dogs. They had no use for them. But they have seen something in this man. His character, his actions, his spirit towards them had so, this is amazing to me, had so won them over that the Jewish leaders come to Jesus and say, he's worthy. Amen. He was a man touched by the power of God. He was a man unselfish with his resources. Caesar did not send him down there and say, build those Jews a synagogue. He used his own resources. He hath built us a synagogue, a place of worship, to worship the God of Israel. He was a soldier. You go back and learn how soldiers were regarded in that generation, especially Roman soldiers. They were looked at as cruel, heartless. They were men of war and bloodshed. But this Roman soldier had a heart of compassion towards his slave. Now, all of these things I've just said were extremely rare and unusual. And yet we find him in a Gentile man. He was a big shot in the social pecking order. But he told Jesus, I'm not worthy. He was humble. Amen. He loved the Jewish people, whereas most Romans despised him. Very unusual. But you know what stood out to me? Now, the words of Jesus, his great faith, obviously. But what I want to talk to you about this morning, these words that I emphasize, this man had a tremendous spiritual insight in regards to Jesus. And I might add, this particular insight is one that is sorely lacking in the church today. He saw something in Jesus that not many people are willing to even look at, let alone consider. He did not know Jesus was the Messiah. He did not know Jesus was going to be the Savior of the world, and he did not know he was the Son of God, but he saw in Jesus a man, although on a higher level than himself, he saw in Jesus a man who possessed great power. Amen? But he saw in Jesus a man who possessed great power because he himself submitted to the greatest power. Please, I want to let that sink in. It's not the way that our minds usually work. We too often, believers today have the ideal that, and I've said it before, that Jesus, when he came to this world and you know, he began to live in his life and his ministry, that you know, he was, you know, some supernatural power, strength, wisdom, everything. But we forget that when Jesus stepped out of glory, he laid aside. Amen? Which is a very good time to do that. I'm not laying aside glory. Brother Richard told me he's going to get me a coat rack over here, so I'm going to hold him to that. No, it's warmer up here than out there. Ask my wife. When Jesus came to this world, he laid aside his glory. He laid aside that divine power, that divine authority, all that, and that's a, I've talked about it many times. He came, he was born as a babe, a helpless babe. He lived as a man in this world. And yet he possessed this tremendous power to heal the sick, to make the lame to walk, the dead raised to life, and all of these things. Because, this is what we miss, because he lived a life completely in subjection to the Father's authority. Amen? This is so important. It goes contrary. It flies in the face of what so much of religion is trying to promote today. You know, you can go into Christian bookstores, you can Google it, you can do whatever, and spiritual power is offered through all kinds of means, and they write books about it and have conferences about it, and usually somebody's trying to get spiritual power for selfish and fleshly reasons. They talk about, and we've sung about it this morning, Sister Carolyn's song, such a beautiful song, talked about the power in that blood, and we know that there's power in the Word of God, and we know that the power of the Holy Spirit, and people talk a lot about it, but I remind you this morning, none of that power is ours to lay hold of until we submit ourselves to God's authority. Amen? See, what this is another subject that I'm not going to go down, but I'll remind you, there is a lot of power operating in religion today that is not of God. People forget, you know, the story of Moses and the magicians of Pharaoh. The devil gives men power to work miracles. Amen? I dare say that if you would have been standing with Moses watching Pharaoh's magicians turn those, you know, do all those things, you would have been a bit alarmed too. The devil grants power to people and he would rather do it in religion than anywhere. Because through that, he deceives people. Amen? But I believe you do, but I'm reminding you today that true spiritual power, which is what we need, we don't need more human power. We don't need more political power, as so many in religion think. We don't need the power of evil. What we need is the power of God himself in our lives and flowing through us. And that power comes only as we will say with the centurion, I also am under authority. Amen? The authority of God's throne. That was the source of power that Jesus possessed as the Son of Man while he lived in this world. It is our only hope of obtaining the power that we need to make a difference in this lost and dying world and to live a life for the glory of God, to overcome sin and resist temptation and to love our enemies. We have no power to do those things on our own. Amen. But God shows us how, teaches us many places. And this one that I believe is so often overlooked, years ago when God just revealed this to me, and I'm not saying I'm the only one, but because it's right there in front of us, words that we just skim over, but when that centurion said that word, I also, he was saying something, he was implying something that was so real. When he said those words, we should realize that principle he is expressing is the guiding principle of his life. Power comes from authority. Amen? A soldier's life operates in a chain of command. You know that. You only have authority and power over those under you in the sense of that chain of command as you submit to the one above you. This man's life, as one who had risen through the ranks as a soldier, demonstrated that principle. He understood. Now, I would expect as a centurion that he was a pretty skilled warrior. I would think that he was well trained in the arts of war, but he knew on his own he had very little power against the enemies of Rome. Amen? On his own. I mean, he may have been a strong man, you know, well skilled in the arts of war, but he could not go into a city on his own and say, you must bow to me. He had no power. Amen? He was not able. He could not overcome an army of hostile enemies on his own. He understood that. Do we? You know, every day you get up and you don't have to wait to go out, but you know when you go out in the world, you're going to face a world hostile. Amen? And it's sad, but there's many that wake up and even in their home, they face individuals and family members that are hostile. You know, there are no neutral positions in this spiritual. We are in a spiritual battle. And there are only those who are for Jesus or against Jesus. So we're in a world that is hostile to Jesus Christ. And this man knew. He had no power. You and I need to know that. We have no power. And one of the things that day after day, I mean, part of the reason is because it is a joy to me. But even in those days when my body's tired and my mind's weary and I'm battling discouragement or whatever, I get up and I go to my office and I open my Bible and I begin to pray to God because I know if I go out of this house without God's anointing and God's power on my life, I'm going to be overcome. Amen. He said, well, you're a preacher. You shouldn't worry about that. Partly because I am. I know I'm going to be attacked in ways that... Anyway, I'm not saying anymore, but the devil, he takes aim at me too. Just like some of you know he does at you. So this centurion knew that when he submits to the authority of Caesar is the representative head of the Roman Empire, the greatest empire in the world at that time, the greatest military power. He knew when he submits himself to the authority of Caesar, when he bows his knee to the throne of Rome, then, this is what we need to take, wherever he went, he did not stand in his own strength. He did not represent his own power authority. He represented Caesar wherever he went. And this was clearly known by everyone around him. The men did not jump. He probably had soldiers under him who were stronger than him or faster or could whoop him in hand-to-hand combat. But they jumped when he said jump because when he spoke, Caesar was speaking. Why? This is the point. Why? Because he submitted to authority. And when you submit to authority, we gain the power that is invested in that source. Amen. He recognized, and I'm talking about him on a human level right now, he recognized the greatest source of power in the known world then. It was Rome. The Roman military was unrivaled in that era and for quite a few generations. When he went to confront a city with his, 100 men, that's a pretty meager band. But Caesar would send them because, word circulated. So he and his meager band of 100 men go to this city. It's walled. There's gates. And he walks up and he says, Caesar demands your subjection. Now maybe in that city there are 1,000 or 5,000 men of war that could have easily overcome the 100. But you know what they knew? Standing before us is not just that centurion with his little band, but behind him is Caesar. Behind him is the might of Rome. And if we don't come under his authority, all the might of the military machine of Rome will be brought to bear on us. Is that any different today? When our government sends ambassadors And I don't know what goes on in behind the scenes, but I know in days past when we had men of character, and they would stand up to foreign powers who were trying to abuse and take the freedom of people, and our ambassadors would, now I don't know their names, we could go back and look, but I know that in those times they would stand and they would tell people that you are going to do this, you're going to do what's right, you're going to turn from what you're doing, or the might of the United States military is going to come bearing down on you. And that little man that we don't know and history doesn't talk about carried great power. Why? Because he submitted himself to the authority that was over him. Now, I'm using examples right now, the centurion and what goes on in human life, so that we might understand where we are and what we need spiritually. We feel in ourselves so inadequate, but that causes us, and the devil uses that at times to beat us down and cause us to feel weak and helpless, and it's no avail to try to do anything. But we forget that when we are submitted to God's almighty authority, we are submitting to the greatest source of power in this universe, and wherever we go, we represent the King of glory. Amen? You say, oh, Brother Chris, you're just a little country preacher and no need. I know who I am. I know who I'm not. But who I am is a child of God. Amen? I remember, I probably told this, but one of the brethren was sharing it with me sometime recently when the Cuban government was so cruelly oppressing Brother Wilson, and one of the local leaders came to this pastor and he said, we finally have Wilson. We've got him trapped. We're going to destroy him. And the pastor told him, he said, no, you won't. What do you mean? He said, he is a man of God and you are not. God is on his side. Amen. See, that's, Brother Richard, that's what we have when we face the enemies, when we face a hostile world, when we face individuals who would persecute and mock us. The God of heaven is on our side if we are submitted to him. Amen? I believe this is a principle that much of religion misses today. They imagine that spiritual power is obtained and comes from so many other places. They think that they're through their denomination they're going to have power and influence, or through their doctrines and beliefs they're going to have a certain amount of power. But there is no power in anything man can do. Power belongs to God, and yet we can lay hold of that power when we bow to his authority. Amen? Now, I want to make clear, I keep saying that, but ours is not the submission of servitude and a slave. Ours is the glad submission of love. We submit because we love him, because he first loved us. We sung the song, we serve him because we love him. Amen? I don't believe this man knew, you know, a great deal about Jesus, in the sense that we do. We didn't have the New Testament written yet. But being a believer in the God of Israel, and when you believe in he believed in the God of Israel, that he's the only true God. He's the God of all power. He was probably familiar with the Old Testament writings, what the psalmist had written, that power belongs to God. He was convinced the more that he learned about Jesus, he was convinced that the only way that a man could possess this power to heal the sick and to move the multitudes with his mighty words and to cast out demons and raise the dead, the only way for a man to have that kind of power was if he was submitted to God and God's power was flowing through him. Like he, I'm sure, knew of the prophets of old. See, that it's interesting because this was not Jesus' first visit to Capernaum. This passage begins, he comes to Capernaum. Because you go back in chapter 4, Jesus has come to Capernaum. And it's interesting to me, because it goes, I didn't even have these right in my mind at first, But when the Lord took me back there, I was, wow, this is just confirmation. Back in Luke chapter 4, and remember, this is the area that the centurion rules over. His soldiers are the policemen. He is the chief of police. He knows what's going on. So I could well imagine when Jesus came back in chapter 4 to Capernaum, and he's got a big multitude of people there, that the centurion knows what's going on. I'm going to go check it out. And you know what they said when Jesus taught? His words are with authority. And then there was a man possessed of a devil. That's first one, verse 32 of chapter 4. Then you go down to verse 36. Jesus cast the demon out of the man with his word. And do you know what was written then? What a word is this for with authority and power. Hallelujah. He commandeth the unclean spirit and they come out. This was what was leading up to this scene that we have read about this morning. The centurion was, he wasn't just somebody out in left field and heard that this great healer's passing through. He knew about Jesus. If he didn't hear him firsthand, I can almost promise you that he got a firsthand account. His soldiers were coming back saying, you won't believe it. How this man spoke and what he did. He cast out demons, and we've heard of, the crowd was talking about how he's made the lame to walk and the blind to see, and this centurion is gathering all this in. And so he knew what even it seemed the disciples of Jesus, they didn't really stop to reflect on. You know, everybody was always, we got to get to Jesus. We need to bring him to where we are. But what did this man say? All you got to do is speak the word. There's power in your word. I know that. Amen. Jesus possessed that power because he submitted himself fully, completely, freely to the Father in all that he did. Amen? I'll remind you, but you know some of the things he said. I did not come to do my will. I come to do the will of my Father. What's he saying? I am submitted to his authority. I did not come to speak my words, but I come to speak the words of the Father that he gives me. That's submission to authority. At the most critical moment of his human life, when he's in Gethsemane's garden, he says, what is the ultimate example of submission? Not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Submission to the Father's authority was the guiding principle of his life, all because of the love that existed between the Father and the Son. Jesus lived the most humble life, the most submissive life to God that has ever been lived in this world. Amen. You know that. And from that perfect submission, see, what he did on the cross was a fulfillment of his submission to the Father. But because of that, what did he say after he had rose from the grave and he was getting ready to ascend to the Father? What did he say to the disciples? All power has been given to me. All power. Because he perfectly completed the will of the Father. He did not deviate. Well, I won't do it this morning. But that's a track we could follow. See, that's our problem, the deviate. You know, we're going the right way and then something happens. Somebody does something, somebody says something, we read something, and we deviate from the Father's will. Jesus never deviated. Amen. True spiritual power, the power we need in our individual lives, in our homes, in our ministries, in all we do, that power only comes one way. When we can say with the centurion, I also am under authority. Amen. Most in religion would deny that this is the real essence of spiritual power. They believe that it's going to come some other way. And they carry on and talk about having God's power, but their lives are not submitted to his authority. Their wills are not submitted to him. They're living in open rebellion against. See, I want to make that clear. This is God's authority, the revealed will of God. Amen? This is why we don't have to worry when the world, you know, as they're doing now, accusing us as being the haters and because we don't accept sin and evil. We're not trying to push forward any authority we have. We're just saying, thus saith the Lord. This is what God has revealed about all that stuff. Amen? About how God made us. He didn't make us like this. Oh my, I dare not go down this road. He made us in his image. Amen. He didn't make us in the image of a cat or a dog, like little children are led to believe today. I'll probably get in trouble for saying it, but what some judge need to do is lock that mom and dad up or have an old-fashioned flogging until they have some sense, because somebody would tell them, if you let your child identify like that, do you realize that you are stripping them of human rights? A cat doesn't have a right. A dog doesn't have a right to vote. He doesn't have a right to life. I mean, they're reducing their own children to animals without human rights. It is the height of insanity. God made us in his image. God made man. God made woman. He didn't make any other genders, and he made one man and one woman for each other. Not a woman for a woman, not a man for a man. That is a sin. It is an abomination to God, and you don't need to remind me. There are a lot of other sins. There are a lot of other abominations, and they all will send you to a devil's hell. Amen? I've never got on that bandwagon as some do. You know, that's the sin of all sins. It is a sin that will send you to hell because it separates you from God. Just like the fornicator that thinks he's going to defy the authority of God and live in sexual fornication. He's going to be separated from God and go to hell if he doesn't get right. And so it's no different with the homosexual or all the other perversions that are out there today. I told you this, I shouldn't dare not go down that track, but it's stuff needs to be mentioned today. We need to be, you know, if you're not aware of where our society is headed, I don't know what, you know, what planet you're living on, but our country's in a mess. And though I believe that we're going to see revival, I'm not naive enough to think that God has to use the United States to do it. You know, I'm not like some of these, I think they're kind of goofy. You know, they read over in Revelation or Daniel, oh, I see the United States right there. Do you know we're just a little blip? I mean, 250 years, what's that in the course of human history? This country can come and go and vanish and be forgotten in a few generations if God lets this world endure, which will happen if we don't have revival in our nation. Our founding father said that we won't long endure. Every nation that has taken this path, the greatest nation probably that the world has ever known in their worldwide reach was the Roman Empire, but they opened their doors to these things. Caesar's palace was filled with homosexuality. perversions of all kinds. And Rome is only a note in history, like our country will be if we do not wake up, if we do not change. I don't say that to scare anybody. I'm not a doomsdayer. I mean, but we have to be realist also. The path we're on right now, we can't continue as it is. You know, you can't continue where a third of the people support the other two-thirds. Amen? Where you have a generation coming up today. Somebody quoted a statistic to me recently. Young men from high school age till 40, 80% of them live at home with mama and daddy. Anyway, I need to get back on here. Somebody say amen. Get back. Get back on this. We need power if we're going to affect change in this generation. We need the power of God. We need the power of God so that we might be men and women of prayer. The reason that there is so much prayerlessness in the lives of God's children and why our prayers are so weak and feeble is because we don't have God's power operating in our lives, because power only comes through submission. And when we don't submit, we won't have his power. Can we say that this morning? My life is submitted to God's authority in all things. We don't like that. Religion tells us it's not possible, but strangely, it's what the Bible calls us to. Amen? Did Jesus say that, you know, if you'll just come after me and forsake most things, you'll be okay? Forsake. You know, when Hugh and Lisa got married and they come to that part in the ceremony, Hugh got there and said, I'll forsake most others, except man probably would have had a knot on his head. No, forsaking all. That's the only way to follow Christ. Amen? All. You, going back, and I'm about to close this, but somebody went, whew. What you don't know is I have my hearing aids adjusted this week, so I can hear your sighs now. He said, preacher, you're about deaf, but I can turn these things up. I said, do it, brother. Crank it up. So you catch me without them, you can talk about me behind my back. I won't even hear them, but I'm wearing them. But imagine, you know, the Roman centurion. He gets orders from Caesar, and he said, nah, I'm not doing that. He defies Caesar's authority. You think he's going out in power? No. Think he's going to have Caesar's support if he's rebelling against his authority? No. But that is modern religion. They teach that they live every day defying the authority of God. They live in sin every day. Their teachings, their words, their doctrine. We defy. What is sin? Defying God's authority. Not bowing to his throne. They live day after day. Now, I'm not talking about little gray things. I'm talking about in known sin, the majority. They set their priorities without even seeking God about it. They live according to their will. You see, when you go to the ballpark on Sunday morning and you see a full ballpark and you begin to find out that the majority of the people in the stands there are church members, then you know the apostate condition of this church world. They're living out their doctrines they've been taught. And yet they They imagine I still got God on my side. His power is still working for me, even though I don't do what he says and reject his word. That is a fantasy. Amen. It is a lie that is promoted in the most, in the saddest place of all, and that is in the pulpits of our land. And it's successfully promoted because people won't get into God's word, the revealed will of God, for themselves. Can we say this morning that my life, my heart is submitted to God's authority in all things? And because of that, see, I'm not asking if you're able to raise the dead or cure the... because we are submitted to God's authority, we are able to live as he calls us to live. Amen. We're able to walk in holiness. We're able to love our enemies. We're able to overcome temptation and sin. And we become empowered to live as God calls us to live when we submit to his authority. That is what New Testament Christianity is about. It's not just coming and believing a few things and going on our way, doing our own things. It's not just coming and having a good time singing songs about God. It is you and I bowing our knee to the authority of God, living in a glad submission, and then finding out that his power will operate in us and flow through our lives to touch others, to make a difference. This was what made the early church so powerful. This was what, see, I've read and love to read those stories, and I'm amazed at people when they read of, you know, a John Wesley, a D.L. Moody, a George Mueller, a Charles Finney, these great men of power, spiritual power in past generations. And they're always trying to find some secret, but it is an open secret. You say, I used to wonder this, but they believe different things. Yeah, but they had this one common denominator. They were submitted to God. Amen. Amen. And they became men mightily used of God. Today we need to ask ourselves who or what we're submitting to. Amen. Am I submitting myself to God in all things, or am I yielding to the flesh, the pull of the world, the terrible pull of modern religion that makes things seem so easy and makes living godly lives so unnecessary according to them? But I would say to them, or you, or anyone, because it's God's word, if we are not submitting to God's authority, we're going to be spiritually weak, helpless, amen, overcome. This morning, ask our musicians to come. Many of us know what I hope every sinner, every backslider would know, that the reason our lives were a mess and the reason that sinners are heading down the broad road today is because they're submitting to the wrong authority. But God, in his mercy, calls us to his Son, Jesus Christ, to trust, to put faith in him as our Savior, what he's done, but then to honor him as our Lord just as much. That is how lives are changed. Amen. What authority are we going to submit to. I pray today, by God's grace, all of us will be able to join with that centurion, with our eyes upon Jesus, and say, I also am under authority, your authority. As we stand together for this song, I wonder if there's someone that needs to pray, to seek the Lord, to tell him this morning, Lord, I'm yours, body and soul, forevermore. I'm yours, and submit our will, our life to him. Father, we bow.